Your gold is a rose in the summer sun, dancing like a butterfly. Take me to your fantasy. Listen to the birds singing in your trees. Honey, your heart grows wings.
All the world's alive tonight.
Hold me in your heart and I'll never leave.
This is listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai, Soldotna. This is the Kenai Conversation. I'm Jenny Nyman. We've got a local music edition of the Kenai Conversation today. This is The World's Alive by the band Blackbird. Kenai musician Cody Nicely is our guest, and he'll be here to tell us about his recent tour with Blues Traveler in just a moment. Stay tuned. Kenai musician Cody Nicely is on the Kenai Conversation today. If that name sounds familiar, it's probably because you've heard him in several local bands, or I would imagine you've at least heard him play, usually on drums, occasionally on guitar or vocals, and maybe a harmonica once in a while, with Men with Guns, Off the Cuff, Gold Peak, the Tune Weavers, Cow Skinners, and the Pit Vipers. Cody, thanks for being here.
Hello.
So you just yesterday returned from a very cool tour in the lower 48 with Blues Traveler.
I did.
That's very exciting.
Yeah, I got in yesterday morning about 5:30 from Anchorage, and I think I slept for a full 24 hours. It was a long trip, but it was super exciting, a lot of fun.
Nice. Okay, so we are gonna get into the tour and how that came about and highlights from the tour, but just to kind of orient folks, can we talk a little bit about you? You grew up here in the area. how did you get into music originally? Coming from Kenai to make it to professional musician status is not a track everyone pulls off. So I'm super curious.
I've always enjoyed music. Who doesn't? About 8 years old, I started getting into drums. And honestly, I've never looked back.
And do you have a musical family or just a very tolerant family that would put up with an 8 year old on drums in the house?
I started with a pad.
Okay.
and, you know, whatever else I could find to hit. Everything's a drum if you want it
to be.
That
is true. That is very true. And if your parents allow it to be.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I took to it. I started with the tribal drum.
Oh, okay. And you are a member of the Kenaitse tribe, right?
I am not.
Oh, you are not. Okay.
My wife is and my children are.
Okay.
But I am not. My stepdad was Athabascan from the Dog League of the Yukon, Grayling Village. So, you know, we went to powwows and went to drum, went to dance, moose camp, all of that.
Nice. And seeing the indigenous drumming really kind of sparked something in you?
It did. It's simple but powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, even at 8, you could tell that drumming does something. it makes people move. You can do anything with a drum.
Yeah.
As I got older, I started learning in school at Mountain View Elementary.
See, support your local elementary school band programs, everybody.
Yeah, it's important. and then I kept up on it. I moved out of state in 8th grade, went to West Virginia, and I learned marching there.
Oh, okay.
Which was really cool. Came back, did high school, finished high school.
And kept playing through high school?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
KCHS or So High?
KCHS, but I graduated out in Nikiski.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Went to the military, did some more marching, sometimes with a drum. And when I got out, I joined a band called the Bumpin' Uglies, which we later turned into Men with Guns.
Ah, okay. So back in this area then, if it's Men with Guns. Okay.
Yeah.
Whenabouts did you make it back to the area?
2004.
Okay.
And then by the time winter hit that year, I was back playing again.
Nice.
With Lowell George Granoff. I'm sure a lot of people know.
Oh,
know,
yeah.
Old Lowell.
Yeah. So when you were in the service then, did you think like, I don't know, oh, I've made a mistake. Music is my first love. I should be doing that. Or did you get back and you just kind of miss music and didn't have anything else going on? Like, well, this is something to do until I figure out my life. Or like how much was being a professional musician kind of the plan, I guess?
I guess it was always the plan.
Okay.
But growing up here, you don't maybe have a lot of options.
Yeah, you don't see that path real clearly.
Yeah, so I joined the military to get out of Alaska, and they sent me to Fairbanks.
they don't warn you in the paperwork. Like, yeah, you are going wherever we tell you you are going.
Well, my job was supposed to be pavement maintenance and heavy equipment, and it ended up being snow removal.
Oh, okay.
Because I was in Fairbanks. being up there, they had a really thriving metal scene, so I was always going to shows.
Okay.
Salcha, North Pole, or in Fairbanks. And that kind of kept the spark alive. I bought my first like real drum set with my bonus.
Oh, wow.
And then I used the rest to get a car that it would fit in.
Priorities.
Well, you know, I still use the snare from that kit.
Nice.
It's an old Gretsch Blackhawk.
Okay.
Really good stuff. Being that close to home, a lot of my old bandmates could just come see me or vice versa, which probably didn't help with like making a career out of it.
How so?
Well, you know, you see your buddies all the time. It's like, I just go make music at home.
Oh, right. Yeah. Yeah.
And so they offered a way out. There was 120,000 troops in various career fields that they needed to pare down, and mine was one of them.
Okay.
So I signed the paperwork and I got out, and I had a choice, go left or right. And I took a right and came home for a couple of weeks and here I am. I'm still here.
Okay. And how has music and your career kind of progressed over the years? I mean, we read your list of bands that you've been in, so you seem to be making it happen.
So I started out for many years playing punk rock, huge punk rock scene in Anchorage at the time. There's still a pretty good one, but back then it was like we'd do like 3-4 bands on the bill a night. And then when I'd be at home, I'd have my cover band. That was Off the Cuff, was my first cover band.
Nice.
We had Mike Adey, Robert Sather, Sue Singleton on bass, Bob Costley on auxiliary percussion. And like that kind of made me stretch a little bit instead of just playing real staccato. It made me have to swing.
Okay.
And from there, I started learning other styles just so that I could keep up with those guys. They know everything.
Yeah. So what did you start with? Like, what was your, you know, the music that you grew up with and that you thought was awesome and you wanted to play? Or were you a little of everything?
Weird Al.
Oh.
He's my hero.
Oh, my gosh.
I've seen him 4 times. Yeah, I love Weird Al. I like what he's able to do with a song. Mm-hmm. You know, it's still that song, but it is not that song.
Yeah, they're still very musically adept. I mean, they're incredible performers.
They are. And the same guys for 40
years.
Yeah,
and they can do all those different styles. And... oh, fun. Okay, that was a curveball, but I'm with you.
And then, you know, I was raised on classic country and classic rock. My mom's a big fan of, like, Heart and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
But she was also a big fan of The Offspring and Salt and Peppa.
Interesting. Okay.
She liked Snoop from time to time. So pretty eclectic.
Okay. So you started out playing that stuff too and then kind of transitioned to punk in the Anchorage scene? Or?
Well, like high school, we did more like grunge.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it was the era for that.
Yeah, it was the 90s. But it was silly grunge. So it kind of bordered on novelty punk anyway. Enema of the State, Blink 182, I'm calling you out. But yeah, it was very high school. Then
you know, everybody's got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
You all got to have that phase.
Yeah. Well, and then there was The Incredible Fall, which featured Ben Cantill as the guitar player songwriter. He is now part of the Zebler and Canty Experience, which is an electronic group that is pretty big, I guess.
Oh, nice.
I went and played his festival/40th birthday party this spring in Boston and opened up for guys like Rob Clouth, who is, I guess, the main guy. I don't listen to electronic music, so I don't know.
There's a lid for every pot. I'm sure those names, for some people who are in that scene, are like losing their mind right now.
Right. And so like that was weird. Because I opened with an acoustic guitar.
Oh.
And everyone after me played a computer.
Was there a bit of a record scratch when you went on with an acoustic?
I think that's why he had me go first.
Ah, okay.
But yeah, he taught for the Berklee College of Music on their Valencia campus. I may be wrong, but I don't think I am. They had to give him a master's degree to teach the first master's course in his discipline.
Okay.
Now he lives in Scotland and runs a school there, doing the same thing.
Nice.
But yeah. And like me and him, we've always been like the two out of our like bands in high school that they're going to keep going.
Mm.
And we did.
And you did. Fresh off a tour with Blues Traveler. So you mentioned some of the bands you played with locally, but how did the band Blackbird come about?
So Cody and I, and his brother Caleb, we grew up going to powwows together. I met him when I was about 12, so I'm like 5 years older than him. So he was just the other Cody running around. we lost touch when they moved to Minnesota, and he kept play. Well, he didn't, when I knew him as a kid, he didn't play flute. And he came back to Alaska doing that, playing the traditional Native American flute. And I caught him at the Dena'ina Center for an event, and I walked up to him and I was talking to him, and then I was talking to my mom, and she goes, "Well, you know him." And
don't
so,
you love that when parents tell you what you do and do not know? Oh, yeah. You remember? Like, I think I would know if I remember, but okay.
Right. So I walked back up to him, and I'm like, apparently we know each other from when we were children, and we got to talking, and sure enough, we do. A few months later, he called me up and says, "Do you want to fly down for this tour that I booked? I need a drummer and maybe a guitar player for some of these gigs."
Well, and had you played together at that point, or just met at the, oh, wow. Okay.
No. We didn't rehearse. We just went on the road and discussed what songs we were going to do and what keys they were in and which ones were going to have a drummer and which ones weren't.
Wow. I mean, is that, not a musician here, so is that normal? Or you think
for
they're...
For me? Yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's normal for anybody else.
Okay. Fair enough. I would think, yeah, I would be a little more of a control freak. Like, we got to vet this guy. We got to, like... do some rehearsals, see right. if it all gels.
Well, he had a couple records, and like, I wouldn't have hired me sight unseen. Drummers, we'll talk a big game sometimes.
Okay.
And so we went down. Our first show was in Sacramento. We had John Trudell. We were opening for him, a Native American activist and poet. He was in Thunderheart with Val Kilmer.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty much playing himself.
Oh, wow.
Amazing man. Amazing man. And yeah, after that, we...
And how long ago was that? Was that first tour?
13 years ago, I believe.
Okay.
It's been a while.
And had you... I mean, you knew Cody, obviously, at least from childhood connections, but were you familiar with the band at that point? Were you a fan? Did you have to like learn all the...
There was no band.
Oh, okay. That was the beginning of... okay.
His brother hadn't even started playing with us yet.
Okay.
It was just me and Cody.
Oh, wow.
Going out as the Cody Blackbird Band.
Okay.
And yeah, it's confusing. There's two Codys. This whole tour, I think I must have introduced myself as the other Cody 100 times or more. there was no band. It was kind of an idea.
Okay.
And
a band on spec.
Yeah. And we made it happen. We did two coast to coasts, just playing little rinky-dink places everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Played Buffalo and Hill City, South Dakota, Wheeling, West Virginia.
And was that your first, you know, big tour, Alaska, out of Alaska experience?
Sacramento was my first time playing music outside of Alaska.
Wow.
That wasn't eighth grade school band.
How was that?
More intimidating than it should have been, but it's only because we had John Trudell there.
Oh, okay.
And I knew who he was.
Okay.
yeah. He was once called by the FBI the most dangerous man in Indian country because of his eloquence.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, that was intimidating.
And
but
how old were you at that point?
Oh, gosh.
I know, math on the spot, sorry.
29, 30.
Okay.
29.
So you'd seen some things, been some places, I'm sure, at that point. So it wasn't like completely from Alaska first time to the lower 48,
right.
But doing
right.
it as a professional touring musician, that had to be... I mean, did you like know what you were getting yourself into? Or
I had
were
no
there...
idea.
what were some of the biggest surprises?
That I like California.
Oh. Yeah, we're not really trained to do that up here in Alaska.
No, I found that I quite enjoyed it.
Okay.
There's things to do. I mean, I wouldn't live there.
Mm-hmm.
But as a place to go, I found it enjoyable.
Yeah, lovely state. Fantastic parks, nice weather.
I like when you're going down or up, how drastically the landscape can change.
Oh, right.
Like that, that was cool.
Okay.
So, yeah. I mean, I am from the woods, so. I like nature. And they have quite a bit more than I thought they would. Hmm. So, enjoyable. Other than that, it wasn't much different than touring here. And in the summertime, it's a tour to get anywhere. In the wintertime, even. Maybe you'll go to Seward. Maybe you'll go to Homer. But you try and keep it around, you know, Kenai Soldotna.
Right. There's still inherently a vehicle and loading and unloading and sound checks and all that good stuff. That's probably not too different venue to venue, wherever you are.
That's always the weird ones, is having a sound check.
Oh.
We don't do that here. No, we do.
Maybe not before the audience is there, though. Maybe not a pre-scheduled.
Yeah. A guy that you've never met before running the faders.
Oh, yeah.
that was the first tour. I went out again with them. It was pretty much the same thing, but a little more structured.
Okay.
We had a guitar player and we had a bass player. You know, it wasn't just me and Cody making it up as we go along.
The first tour, you were predominantly drums, but some guitar as well? Is that right?
I think it was 50-50.
Oh, okay, 50-50. And you do some vocals too.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And I did sing on that one.
Okay. So the next tour, how big was the band at that point? How much have you
grown?
4 to 5 piece.
Oh,
okay.
Just depending on, sometimes we'd have to hire guys.
Okay.
We hired the Ed Coben Group in Buffalo to fill us out, and that was super cool.
Nice.
They're really good. The lore is that they back Nelly Furtado sometimes.
Oh, really?
So, like, that was cool. The lead singer, the Goo Goo Dolls, is from Buffalo, and he was at that show.
Oh, fun.
We didn't get to meet him, but, like, Ed knew him, so he's, like, in between songs, he goes, "That's him." that was cool. But, yeah, we had to hire musicians a lot of places, otherwise we had a couple guys that in certain places that
right.
were willing to be our guys. So they already knew the songs and all of that.
Nice.
And
then this is your recent tour. Is that your third tour?
Tour with Cody.
With Cody,
but
okay.
I have a third tour.
Okay.
With the Conway CV band.
Oh, okay.
And I was 32.
Another local musician boy does good.
Yep. Conway's a good kid. He's not a kid anymore. But, you know, this was 10 years ago. We went to Iowa for like 14 days, but 2 days travel, 12 days of tour.
Mm-hmm.
That was different. Conway was still doing the pop music thing.
Mm-hmm.
So we were touring like high school gymnasiums. And it was weird. I was 32 years old. And they made me shave because it would make me look younger. And then
they
were like, "That's too young." they were, you know, 18, 19, and 20 at the time.
Right.
So I was just the old guy in the band.
Did you just feel like you were the babysitter? Or were you the one, like, "Let me show you the dark side, guys"?
No, we had a tour manager.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
That said, me and Ben Sayers had a room together. He was our bass player. And we were watching Dude, Where's My Car? And we have those tattoos now.
Oh.
So maybe I was a bad influence. It was fun though. I like touring. Then I didn't do it again until this year.
Okay. So the name of the band has morphed a bit over time.
Yes. I'm not certain on why. I didn't ask. But I think there's some sort of rights issue maybe with another band.
Okay.
And so they're just trying to avoid all that.
And so the current iteration is the band Blackbird?
The band Blackbird.
Okay.
Yeah.
And has the style of music, I mean, obviously you've grown in members, but has the vibe or the style of the music changed over time?
Very much so.
Oh, like, interesting.
I mean, maybe not the vibe, but the style for certain. It's kind of always been a little hodgepodge influence-wise and just trying to make it work. We finally, this last February, he found those other elements and then brought me back into the fold. And we did some really cool things with those songs, like pretty close to what the records are already, but not it more, I don't know. It's different and it's very cool.
Nice.
In Oklahoma, they called it real red dirt. I don't know what that means.
But you'll take it.
Yeah, it seemed to be a compliment, so.
Perfect. Well, we're coming up on the bottom of the hour, so I thought we'd play another one from the band Blackbird for a half break here. So what's your preference, Cody? We've got Superficial or Kissing the Fire?
Let's do Kissing the Fire. We wrote this one. I wrote this one with them in Sacramento at that very first show outside with John Trudell, and that's him on the spoken word.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Kissing the Fire with the band Blackbird. We'll be back in just a few minutes. This is the Kenai Conversation. You're tuned to KDLL 91.9 FM.
Riding the waves of sparked light, scorched to the energy of burst, exploding magic through the dimensions, kissing the fire up next to the moon, caressing the stars between heartbeats and dreams. Baby, I'm tripping over inside my head.
Kissing the fire.
That was Kissing the Fire by the band Blackbird with John Trudell, one of the songs that our guest Cody Nicely has performed on tour with various iterations of the band Blackbird. Thanks for being here, Cody.
Thank you for having me.
You are, of course, listening to KDLL 91.9 FM at Kenai Soldotna. This is the Kenai Conversation. I'm Jenny Nyman. And we left off talking about your recent tour that you just returned from with the band Blackbird and Blues Traveler.
Blues Traveler.
So how was that?
That was incredible.
Did you ever think you'd be playing with John Popper and Blues Traveler in your life?
Never. I shook the man's hand. I never thought I'd even get like close to front row, let alone backstage.
You felt the air coming out of the harmonica.
You know, he's got a box of like hundreds of them, and he'll just like be playing and he'll blow a reed and just toss it. And his harp tech, Jess, she was amazing. Just one of the best sound techs I've ever worked with. And like she'd run out and she'd pick up the harp and she'd give it to somebody in the audience.
Oh, cool.
He's never going to use it again.
Really?
Sometimes he'll pull one out and he'll start to play it. I don't like it. Toss it aside.
Oh, wow.
And she'll bring him another one. It's amazing to see. I got to watch Brendan Hill, the drummer. He's a founding member of Blues Traveler from side stage.
And you were mentioning he's one of your biggest influences.
Absolutely one of my biggest
influences.
That's
so cool.
He's incredible. Just I think he's one of the more, maybe the most underrated drummer in rock music today.
And do you feel like you learned anything being that close and getting to see him
live? I learned
live?
A lot.
Okay.
I learned a lot about just restraint.
Oh, okay.
You know, he does a lot of crazy things. His drum solo that he does, and it's the same every night. Maybe some minor variations, but nothing that even I notice, but it's probably there.
So he's pretty consistent.
Pretty consistent, and it's the restraint that he has. He doesn't just go all out at all times.
Mm-hmm. You kind of think, you know, I'm sure as a kid, too, like the appeal of being a drummer is whatever animal from the Muppets.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just going to wail on some stuff.
Right. Or Buddy Rich.
Oh, yeah.
Just going brat, brat, brat all the time.
Just because you can do it doesn't mean you always have to do it.
Yeah. Just watching him like hold back and then come down for a cymbal hit or a tom hit, whatever he was doing, was not a lot of guys do that. They'll just ghost it, and so it'll come down and hit anyway, but he'll fully arrest his motion and then come down. Other than that, it was just a master class in drumming. I had the perfect angle at two of the shows.
Nice.
To just sit on the floor legs crossed, and you'd watch him.
And did you get much of a chance, you know, off stage to hang out, pick his brain, fanboy, all that good stuff?
In Little Rock, I did.
Okay.
That was our last show opening for them. We started in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and took it all the way south. Oh, well, almost.
Nice. So you did 7 shows, correct?
7 total.
And then 5 were opening for Blues Traveler?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So where all were you playing on that tour?
So like I said, we started in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and we went to, where did we go next? Springfield, Illinois.
Okay.
And then Wabash, Indiana. Then Paducah, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
It's hard to say back to back. And then we finished up in Little Rock with Blues Traveler. After that, we moved it to Tulsa, and we played a show at the Mercury Lounge, opening for the Red Dirt Rangers, mm-hmm. another really good band. And our last show was a more acoustic event, playing for the Uchi Immersion School, just outside of Tulsa. It's a school for the Uchi language and way of life. It's really cool to be there. They have buffalo, like real ones from the Yellowstone herd. So like not a hybrid.
Dang.
That's a real buffalo.
Wow.
We took a group photo in front of the buffalo, and we're sitting there, and Miss Sassy, the leader of the herd, they're matriarchal.
Okay.
So yeah. Miss Sassy was like right behind us, and she starts getting a little excited, and the dude taking the picture, he goes, "You might want to take a step forward." And like a line of musicians.
Yeah, I think there's some instances from their home range in Yellowstone with the buffalo and the people too close that did not go well, so I'm glad you didn't.
We had a fence.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
Not a very big one.
Okay. You're from Alaska. You know how to be around wildlife.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'd like to think that too.
So what are some of your other highlights from this tour?
Nashville was really cool. I'd been there when I was very young. So I don't remember it. It was a lot of lights and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
So getting to go back and actually kind of explore it a little bit was cool. We went to a boot shop and got a matching set of boots for the 3 founding members. Which I guess is something you have to do in Nashville is buy boots.
That's what the boot industry will have you believe anyway.
Yes, big boot. And then while we were there, we got to tour Cash Cabin. That's Johnny Cash's cabin that he had built in, I believe, 67. Because there was just too much industry malarkey going on within his actual house.
Mm.
And so further into the property, he built this little cabin, and the rule was no business. So no recording, no talking business, no nothing. Maybe he'd write there, but that's a solitary thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was his place to get away from everything.
And how was that? Is that like a church experience for you?
It was spiritual. Okay. Absolutely spiritual. In his later years, he turned it into a studio. It's where he recorded his last 4 albums with Rick Rubin. So like it's a fully operating studio now. John Carter, his son, you know, he runs it. And then Trey is the engineer. That's who invited us to come out and see it. Like he hands us this guitar. Ronnie Rael, our guitar player, he hands it to him, and we all played it eventually, but you know, Ronnie's picking on it, and he goes, "This is a nice guitar. It's a really old guitar, right?" The guy goes, "Yeah, they recorded Walk the Line with that." Ronnie about dropped it. He goes, "Are you sure we should be playing?
I should have boiled my hands first.
Right.
What is happening? I should have signed a waiver."
Well, come to find out, like, Johnny, his rule with instruments is they should never be on display unless they're ready to play.
Okay.
So if it's there and you want to play it, you could play it.
Oh, that's awesome.
I played on his office guitar. It's a 1932 Martin that he just had laying around in his office when he was like, oh, inspiration has struck. I'm going to write a song. He'd pick it up, and who knows what was written on that guitar.
Wow.
But I played it.
Nice.
Other than that, it was just, it's beautiful. It's a really nice, it felt like home just because we have a lot of cabins.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd been in the cities a lot, and it was nice to not be surrounded by concrete and brick.
Oh, yeah.
As cool as that can be.
Nice. So those are the highlights from the tour. What are some of the more challenging aspects of being a touring musician?
Well, at the heaviest load, we had 9 people in the van.
Okay. That's just a lot of bodies in an enclosed space.
And then at the lightest, we had 7 while we were still like going. But then there was the drop-off period between Oklahoma and Phoenix.
And how long are you in the van for a stretch?
9 hours Ooh. At a time, sometimes more.
Okay. Are you guys fighting over what's on the radio? Are you just doing your own thing, headphones,
tuning
out?
We had a queue, and we'd just pass around a phone.
Okay.
And you just add to it.
Okay.
And it eventually come on, right?
Seems egalitarian.
It was nice.
Okay.
We all have similar tastes, so that's good. By similar, I mean we listen to just about everything.
Oh, there
if
you go.
If it's good, we like it. So, yeah, but just being in the van for 9 hours at a time between cities and stuff, that's probably the roughest. Mm-hmm. People smell after about 4 hours.
Yeah, it'll happen.
Luckily, we stayed in only a couple hotels, mostly B&Bs.
Okay.
So the shower situation was nice.
Okay. A little more of a like a home feel situation once in a while.
Well, like you tour for a week up here in the summer, and half your tours are outdoor or shows are outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
There's no showers.
No.
If it rains, get in it. playing the festival circuit. So yeah, it was yeah. That's probably the worst thing.
Okay.
Being, you know, 4,000 miles away from home, that sucked. But, you know, you do what you got to.
And how are you feeling upon reentry? Are you happy to be home? Are you kind of missing it? Big mind shift after that experience?
I'm so glad to be home.
Okay.
I loved it. Don't get me wrong, but you know, my kids are here. My wife's here. My dog. He was so excited to see me when I walked in the door.
Yeah, you probably don't get that when you get in the van.
No.
At the end of a show.
You might get a hug from your harmonica player, but he's just a really nice guy. I suppose I just tell you a little about the members of the band.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Cody and Caleb Blackbird are Lakota, from South Dakota, but you know, they grew up in Anchorage. Cody is the first Native American flutist to be featured in Rolling Stone magazine. He's got several NAMMYs, which are the Native American Grammys.
Oh, yeah.
I think I'm on one of those records.
Nice. NAMMY by association.
Right.
We'll take it.
And then Caleb, you know, is his brother, and he just turned 30 on Halloween. So we're excited to have him on board. He's turned into quite the percussionist over the years.
Nice.
Then we have Ronnie Rael. He's our guitar player out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And Molly Caitlin, she was our backup singer, also out of Albuquerque. Together they make up the Solos. That's their other band.
Nice.
Then we had Poor Elijah. And that's what he goes by online, is Poor Elijah, but it's Elijah Peters, good old Eli. He's a Hohner artist, so he tinkers with harmonicas for Hohner.
Oh, okay.
He has provided, I didn't catch his last name. His name's Jake, but he's good friends with him, and he provides some of his harmonicas, but Jake plays for Coulter Wall.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Eli's pretty well known amongst harmonica players.
Okay.
And he's really good.
There's a reason he's well known.
Yeah. He's very good. I watched him. He took one and he needed to like make it better. So he just has the tools in his little bag and took it out, took it apart, files the reeds down, puts it back together, blows on it once and goes, perfect. but with a Southern accent.
Oh, that makes it all better.
Yeah. He's originally from Knoxville, Tennessee.
Okay.
Then we had, Carlos Martinez, on bass for most of the tour. But our last two shows, we had this dude named Troy, who plays with, Molly and Ronnie. But Carlos is out of, Mesa, Arizona.
Okay.
Really good bass player. I guess his wife is one of the most sought after sound techs in the region.
Oh.
So, yeah, she's very good. We got to meet her. She was sitting side stage looking at these sound guys going, what are they doing?
judging from afar.
But I won't say where. yeah, so it was a pretty cool band. And then there's just little old me from Kenai, Alaska.
I'm sure if one of your other bandmates were describing the band members and they came to you, they would not be saying little old Cody from Alaska. They'd be saying, oh yeah, we got this killer drummer from Alaska.
I hope so. I won't say it, but someone else can.
So what's on the horizon for you? Is there going to be another tour at some point? Do you have any future plans?
Our immediate plans is getting into the studio. I'm going to have to do remotes for that, but that's easy peasy. We've got good old Scott Marion Soldatna,
oh, yeah,
owner of Whitey's Music. Little plug. But he's, you know, he's a retired guy out of Nashville, so he knows what he's doing. Really good engineer. So we should be able to get some good tracks without having to be in the same room.
Nice.
Other than that, we are talking tours. We've got a couple of prospects in the mix. Big deal things, okay. I think.
Nothing you can announce quite yet?
Nothing I can announce.
Okay.
Other than that, I'll be kicking it here until I get that call again.
Okay.
Doing what I do.
Yeah, I mean, this is your gig. You are a professional musician. That's how you make your living.
It's all I do. It ain't much, but it's enough.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. You know, it's a good life.
So how, I mean, and you've been able to do this for, what, decades at this point, right? So, and on the Central Peninsula, no less. And I mean, just as someone who likes to go to live music, I mean, it seems like the music scene around here can kind of wax and wane and come and go. And so how have you been able to kind of navigate it and keep working all these years?
Versatility.
Okay.
That's the key. In high school, I went to a drum clinic, and the Band of the North jazz drummer out of Anchorage was pretty much handing out free advice. And he says, take any gig you can get and learn new styles. You know, even if you don't know it, say yes to the gig and learn what they've got to offer. And that's just what I've done.
Nice.
As a drummer in Alaska, there's not a lot of us, so we can work. You just have to be in like five bands at once.
So one of your other unsung, I'm sure, gigs is just being a moderator for the Kenai Peninsula music scene page on Facebook.
Yep.
That, you know, shows when gigs are coming up or what local bands are doing. So, I mean, you obviously have a heart for supporting the local music scene.
I do. I think Alaska in general produces a higher tier of musician, but I think the Kenai Peninsula produces maybe the highest tier.
Oh, love to hear it.
There's everyone down here, even like our guys that'll tell you they're, oh, I'm not very good. They're very good. just everywhere you look, every venue with live music has someone up there who is providing you with some of the best entertainment you can find, and for free. As far as you don't have to pay a cover most
of
the time.
Not a thing you find around here. I mean, you should obviously participate in the venue that is hosting the band, and merch
for
sure.
Merch, buy their merch, buy t-shirts, buy stickers. hats, whatever they got.
There's a tip jar for the band. You definitely want to make sure that is seated.
Yeah, tip your bands, tip your bartenders, but mostly tip your bands. We need strings and sticks and picks and new pedals and chords. Oh, the chords.
Yeah, they coming from radio too, they do not last as long as you might think that they should.
No, they don't. And if you're lucky, you've got a guy who knows how to repair them.
Right. Yep.
Half of us might be.
As a fan of local music, what are things, you know, audience members can do to support the scene or get more local music?
Kenai Joe's has usually got a good show. Skeets is newer, but they're working on it. Okay. The bands they've been getting are very good. The things you can do to help your bands, I mean, outside of tipping and buying merch, like make some noise, dance. Like, I mean it.
Those are fighting words around here.
we want to see you move. We want to know we're doing a good job while we're doing it. So okay. Show us by dancing and screaming and yelling and having a good time. That's all we're trying to do, is make sure you have a good time.
Nice.
So yeah, do more of that, please.
And it seems like some of our venues have come and gone over the years. Are there things that bands or fans of music can do to encourage venues to have music, keep music? Is it just a matter of, you know, if a band's playing, just show up and that will build momentum? Or is there some way you can reach out and express an interest in
butts in seats?
Okay.
That's probably the best thing, is just get there, go, show up. Even if you don't drink, you know, or I know that's, bars are weird for some people who don't drink, mm-hmm. but go see some music. We have a lot of nice venues, but one of my favorites for the non-drinkers is Joe's. They've got NAs and they've got mocktails. Mm-hmm. So you can still have a drink without having a drink, and participate in the good times, if you will.
Might make the dancing a little more intimidating.
Right. But that's when you sit in your seat and pump your fist.
There you go. Good fist pump goes a long way.
Lean up against the wall and get your head nod on.
And if someone is a young musician or an aspiring musician, do you have any words of advice?
Just keep playing. Practice and play and learn every style you can. Everything is valuable, and you will find a way to use it. I use bass drum triplets and honky tonk music.
Nobody ever told you that's where that was going to end up?
Well, you hear double kick pedal, mm-hmm. and you think heavy metal, we're just going to machine gun it.
Right.
Nah, you can do way cooler stuff with that kick pedal.
Okay.
So yeah, just use everything. It's useful everywhere. Keep playing. Don't stop.
And you were mentioning you feel like you've had kind of a crazy amount of experiences and opportunities. I mean, do you
always.
Is it luck? Is it who you know? Is it what do you attribute that to?
I mean, I guess for me, it's been who I know and the luck to know them.
Okay. So just getting out there, keeping after it, meeting people, yep. doing shows, and even if you don't think that show in particular is going to be the key to anything else, you never know.
If an opportunity comes across your desk, say yes. That's the thing. Say yes. And that will open up those doors, because someone will see it and go, oh, he was at that thing. Call him. Mm. I've made a career out of being a guy that you can call last minute and will pull off a show. I've played for people from out of state several times last minute.
Nice.
Sometimes you get a couple months. Sometimes you get a week. But say yes. Don't say no. Take the gig.
Famous last words. We love it. Cody Nicely, thanks so much for being here. We super appreciate your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This was fun.
All right, so we are coming up on the top of the hour. This is the Kenai Conversation on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula, KDLL 91.9 FM, Kenai Soldotna. I'm Jenny Nyman, and Cody, while you are in town until your next big, whatever your next big thing that drags you away from Alaska might be, is the Kenai Peninsula music scene how people can find out where you're playing, or what's the best way to keep track of you?
That's a great place to do it. I post all my shows there. pretty much. And if I'm not, one of the bands I'm in will be.
Perfect. All right, so we are going to go out on one more song from the band Blackbird. Superficial, right? Is that the one that we're doing here?
Superficial.
Okay, and is this one of the ones you're playing on your recent tour here? It's got John Popper on it.
It is. And just to preface, he did not join us on stage. That's why we hired Eli.
Fair enough. All right, so this is Superficial, the band Blackbird. Our guest has been Cody Nicely. Thanks for tuning in.